All right, so I know that the game was conceived in 2012, but was it just a kind of on-the-spot thing, or were you thinking of this process for a while? Because this game is very, very unique.
So I have to say that this was not only on the spot, it actually is the second idea that I had back in at NYU there on, in the Global Game Jam event. Probably the better one, honestly. I actually said after, I don't know if it's just an aftermath of actually having an okay idea, but I feel like going into the Global Game Jam or any game jam with preconceived ideas, I felt like it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, it sort of ruins the whole point of what a game jam is.
Okay, so the whole look and feel of the game, the idea, the premise was conceived at Game Jam, but Julia, where you come in, the whole art scene, the way that post-apocalyptic look and thing and stuff like that, how did that all come about?
Well, actually, that came about with Simon Kono coming aboard. He's our artist for the game,
mm-hmm.
and he just came up with these beautiful sort of painted sci-fi landscapes. And I had worked with him before, and I knew that his work was, like, really awesome, but he was, like, making these paintings just for fun, like a weekly sort of art thing, and we just saw it, and we were like, oh, my God, that just is so pretty, and we sort of want this look for the game.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because Julia made the original art for the Global Game Jam, and we had a pretty clear idea of the ambience that we were trying to get, and the way we were able to get it is using a black and white, very Limbo-esque, if you know Limbo. And mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, once we saw Simon's art, we were immediately kind of like bound by the idea of that, you know what, that's... We don't need black and white at all to get the feeling of this desolation and ruin. In fact, it's even more colorful than we could ever expect, and it still conveys the same message. So I think it came out really, really well, and it really fits Simon's previous art style. So it kind of like. It worked very well together, and we're very happy how it comes along.
I have to say, I've played a ton of indie games over the years, and I've played some great ones, but they're always not without their share of bugs and hiccups and things like that. And I have to say, even though it's just the first chapter, there were no hiccups at all. It played super smooth. It played just like a AAA console game would play. How much time and energy has gone into this production so far?
So, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate it because there's a lot of code in it, and there's a lot of design, a lot of elements, and there are still bugs. There are. I mean, I have to disclaim that we actually found one, and I'm working on it. But I'm
speedrunners. Go figure. They'll find any bug.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Uh huh.
Exactly. But it's been in development for almost 3 years. Obviously, not all of it is for level one. And in fact, most of the time spent right now is on further levels. But level one was the one spot where it tried reiterated over and over again to get the right flow, and I really appreciate.
Level one is our tutorial level, and tutorials are just so hard. They're so hard to get the right balance between trying to teach people how to move and also having a game that's fun and not, you know, too over the top with controlling, you know, telling you what to do. So a lot of iteration went into that.
And also kind of give you an idea of what's coming ahead and what are the things that you can do with this mechanic, but not giving too much information and ruin it for you. So there's a lot of things that we tried to get here. We started putting all these tricks, and eventually we decided to take some of them away because we felt they're just giving too much and also throwing too many things that were almost diverting you from the proper path.
When he means tricks, we mean puzzles, content, so...
Oh, yes. Yeah, in a good way.
That's okay.
So it's an interesting strike between, you know, having a lot of puzzles with different stuff from the different levels, but...
I would say about 45 minutes ago before the interview, I'm sitting around the house, you know, I'm playing Call of Duty, and... on the PS4, and I'm looking at the controller, and I'm pressing that little touch screen, you know, to bring up, like, you know, my mission objectives and stuff, and I'm saying to myself, this game, these guys that I'm about to interview in a little while, their game uses touch, you know, kind of like, you know, uses the mouse pad. That PS4 touchpad on the controller would work great for this game. Are you guys thinking about possibly one day moving over to, like, the Vita or the PS4 for this game?
So I feel like the PS4 screen is a little too small to give you enough movement to move the mouse around the screen, although mm-hmm. we definitely would love to, you know, try to make it work. But there are a lot of touch and stylus devices that will work pretty well. The Wii U, for instance, we could probably do the PS Vita.
Yeah, the one thing, I mean, one of my objectives in this industry is to get a proper console game. But honestly, we are working with Sony, we are still looking at the PS4. I just feel like if we can't really get the right experience, then and it might not be worth it for that platform.
Okay.
We are very much interested in putting it in any proper platform. That's for sure. So we are looking at that.
Excellent, excellent. If someone has never played this game before and they're watching the video, it kind of doesn't do it justice. You have to play it. So what would you say to them? What would you say to them is special about this game?
Actually, I think the fact that the mechanics are so different lends itself to people who have never played the game before, especially a lot of non-gamers that might not have a vocabulary of, you know, controls for, like, regular handhelds. I think that getting, you know, sitting down and just having people play with it, they tend to get it really, really quickly. And that's always something that's, like, really great to see, just people, like, coming in without any knowledge, sitting down, playing with this thing, then, you know, a couple minutes later, they're able to, like, you know, go through the tunnels pretty quickly and start getting the hang of moving the goo around.
You know, if anything, we were seeing many cases where, hardcore gamers approached the game with what they thought was preconceived knowledge of what it is. And it took them even longer than people coming in, like, as a fresh slate, clean slate. And
part of that is just the controls are weird because you don't have any direct control over the goo. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people will, you know, like, try to push right through it, and you don't have any force. You're actually just removing yourself. So mm-hmm. getting over that idea that I can't just hit, you know, an arrow key to move forward is kind of hard for people who are traditionally gamers. So.
What is both of your favorite part of the game, like your most gratifying thing? I mean, for me, it's like you said, going through those little tunnels and those twist turns, it's like, I just smile. I feel like I'm a little kid again. So for you guys, what's your favorite part of playing the game?
Oh, wow. It's funny, though, by the way, because honestly, the tunnels and other elements that are... introduced later in the game, mm-hmm. some of them were almost I didn't even think that they would be fun. The tunnels, in the first 2-day Global Game Jam product, there weren't any tunnels because I just couldn't really imagine what the things. When we designed the first the Global Game Jam thing, then there weren't any tunnels, and it took me a while to actually make a tunnel and figure out how much fun it is, and obviously that kind of also shaped up how level one would look like and other challenges along the way. But if you ask me what's my favorite, I have to say that I started designing level six, which is it has a really long roller coaster bit.
Oh, nice.
And that's really fun. That's like when I need a couple of minutes just to relax, that's where I go.
Julie, you have a favorite part?
I think mine is just watching people play it, mm-hmm. and especially playing it in different ways we didn't think about, and like trying to, like for like speedruns, for instance, like watching people like try to figure out how to trick the camera in this weird way that we were like, well, we totally didn't think about that. That's really fun.
What's the development process been like?
It's been a lot of tutorial focus, a lot. I think we have a much, much better tutorial now than we did at PAX East.
Yeah, I, you know, it's, finally we got a producer, which is something that I think is sometimes underestimated, the importance. The producer is actually Simon, the artist, Simon's wife, Kara. Now things are, I have a tendency to go on tangents when I design things, especially when I feel like there's some fun that I can discover, and I try to put a lot of different challenges that might not even get into the game or think about things that are much more advanced, instead of like making sure that the first few levels are playing properly. And with Julia coming in and helping design the first level and figuring out the tutorial, I mean level one, which is the tutorial, and kind of like putting in the proper production in place, things are moving along much, much better right now. So a lot of these things, like just streamlining and figuring out a lot of the future features and, you know, trying to find their place and just helping this production come along.
How has this game affected your abilities? How do you think it's made you better at what you do? And then also, how has it affected your relationship? There's not a lot of people like you guys that do this.
I think there are a lot more. I keep seeing more and more husband and wife developers, which is pretty cool. But it's also really interesting.
That's a great question. Honestly, well, we usually work on other parts of the game at the same time. But yeah, there are some friction. You know, there is some friction sometimes. but it's so much better than the other way. So, I feel like it's just working from home and working close to your partners. It's a huge plus.
Julia?
Let's see. I think we learned a lot from our last game. We did a game together a couple of years ago called Rope Rescue, and it was our first game making something on mobile and just, you know, designing it on the computer and realizing all of the interface problems that mobile comes. I think that really helped us be better designers. And just learning from, you know, playing some games and listening to and following a lot of other developers just go through their process of, you know, good UI systems has really helped make this a much better game. And yeah, it's interesting working with your friends and significant other. So far, so good.
Thank you for putting this in.
I'm sorry if I got you in the doghouse, buddy. I apologize.
No. I'm usually the one in the doghouse.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, the thing is, I have a problem working on a. This is, you know, it sounds a little weird, but I don't like working on tables and desks.
Because, thank you. So we
yeah,
do that.
Yeah. So because for me, if I put the computer on a desk, then I feel like I'm working.
Ah.
And this is I don't know why. This is just it makes me feel like you know.
I'm the opposite. I need that separation, or else I come to the living room and I'm like, well, now I can work instead. I mean, I need that break.
Yeah, and so sometimes that kind of forces us to be physically apart. So Julia takes the small office over on the other side of the house, and I basically work on the couch. So close enough, but yeah.
How do you guys plan to sell this? Like, how are you going to pitch it to the masses once it's completed?
So it's a premium title. We're going to release it for desktops first, just so we don't have to concentrate on all the various porting issues that come with, you know, making it available in other places. Although we plan to do that, we're just going to focus on desktop first.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just going to be a premium title. So you give us money and we give you a game.
Also, I think part of the question was how we present.
How we pitch it to the public.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why should someone buy this game?
Right. So, so we were fortunate enough to capture the attention of quite a few people. I think we're in a pretty good spot especially for. I think it's a true indie game, true indie team,
mm-hmm.
To actually have. You know, a lot of articles written about the game, got a bunch of awards, so we're very fortunate. So that part is already kind of covered. We got the title to be, well, at least partly known.
We're still working on that.
So. Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, nothing is in the bag. I'm just saying that I think the recognition that we get, we can't be thankful enough for the amount of support that we get from the media. So it's pretty amazing. It's been a great ride. Of course, we don't have the funds and the capacity to do the PR that the huge companies go about. But I think we'll be okay. We'll present the game. We have some.
I think just keeping it at a personal level is really important too. You know, like we're four people making a game, two married couples, and just like showing people our story as much as possible and being as transparent as possible, I think is really important. And yeah, hopefully, I mean, I think we have a pretty great game and we'd love to share that with people. So hopefully they'll want to, you know, support us as well.
Right, and we're not trying to do anything that's not part of our culture, really, you know. And our culture is, just, you know, that's what I want to do. We're not gonna sell this as a. Julia touched that point as well. I mean, we're not gonna make this into a game that it's not. We're not gonna put it on the wrong platforms. We can't even. We are eventually going to try to put it. Everywhere that makes sense, but all in due time, because there's just a set amount of attention that we can supply, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to change ourselves. We're not going to become a different company, or we're not going to make a different game just because some people expect different. We were asked about, even pricing models and things like that. And Julia touched it. You know, this is the product that we have, and we really like it as it is. And I think being true to what you think the game should be about is part of our culture.
Last question from me. In a perfect world, both of you guys, how do you want this game to ultimately be remembered?
Wow. Well,
I think I would like it to be remembered as just a a game that had a really interesting, different mechanic, and that was a lot of fun and really enjoyable. And hopefully gets, you know, people who are new to gaming into gaming. Because I feel like, you know, this word casual games or whatever, it's, you know, it's great because it gets people into games, but, like, some of the games that are offered to those people are really bad. And it would be great to, like, you know, I mean, it's the wrong model for it in some cases, but I do feel like there's a lot of people who are not hardcore gamers and who are not those casual gamers that, you know, hopefully this provides them a route into this industry and, you know, maybe ultimately making their own games.
And I want to even emphasize it more and say that for me, I'm kind of almost on the other side of that appreciation that I had when I came in to my first GDC almost 10 years ago. And I saw people like Jonathan Blow or Ron Carmel from, you know, the guy who made World of Goo, who are now my backers, right? And I remember completely idolizing them and having them as my role model of what I want to do. I didn't even know what the path was before I kind of saw the things that you could do with games, and that was an inspiration. And lately we've been getting, I wouldn't say similar because we're definitely not there, but kind of those kinds of responses from aspiring game developers. And I can't stress enough how amazing this is to be an inspiration to other people. This is amazing. And honestly, I've never really thought about what I want to be, because I feel like in some sense I've already kind of I'm already kind of there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the things that I like doing, and I'm making a game that I'm pretty proud of, although it's hardly finished, but I'm already pretty happy with how it comes along. And I'm not sure even what the next dream is, but I have a bunch.